Thank you so much again. Wow, it is so, I'm so excited. I know some of you, but there are many new faces, and I know some of you, like, going, like, really way back to, like, your college days. Where's Juan? I heard you've been expecting me. No. All joking aside, really, super, you know, familiar faces and just really good, great group of gals. And I think playing that game, I think I really felt really old because I really didn't know too many of those names over there. And so I, you know, so it was just, wow, yeah, I'm really out of touch or something. But anyway, so the first session, is going to be on prayer. I'm starting out with prayer because that's something that we all do very well. We really don't need much instruction, so I thought we'd get it in on Friday. But actually, really, we know prayer is important and that we need to pray. But it is really, it's eye-opening, starting with myself, that how we don't pray as we ought. And so we just want to make it really clear up front here that I'm not here, standing up here in front of you, talking about prayer because I have arrived and I have mastered it. So I'm going to share all these secrets on how to. It's not. This is not going to be about how to, you know, and how to pray and what to do and where to pray and all that. It's not going to be that. But it's because I know prayer is important. And I've struggled with it all my years as a Christian. And while struggling through that, there are a few things that I've learned along the way that I just want to share with you and encourage you to pray. Prayer is one of those things that you can't really learn to pray by taking classes, reading books on it, and can't master it that way. You learn how to pray by actually praying. So this session is just going to help us kind of look at maybe heart behind the reasons why we don't pray. The heart is just the prayerlessness of our heart. Okay, so we're going to explore some of that tonight. So I'm just going to pray and ask the Lord to help us. And we'll get into it. Dear Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to just encourage these precious women about prayer. To ask them that you would be with us right now, that you would open our minds, open our hearts to hear your truth. But most importantly, I pray that you would just use me tonight to encourage and to share some of the truth. Help them to really help us all to realize how desperately we need to pray, and that we need to just learn to pray by praying in a consistent manner. And so we just want to commit this time to you, Lord, that you will be glorified in it. I know many have driven long ways to get here. Many are tired. They have to get their families in order before they could even be here. Or coming straight from work, whatever that situation may be, Lord. Friday night and we're a little tired. I pray that you would give us your grace and your strength to pay attention and to seek you for the things that you want us to learn tonight. I pray that you would use me to speak the truth, and that I would speak it and make it clear. And I pray that you would encourage them to want to meet with you and talk with you on a regular basis. We just commit this time to you. May you be glorified in it all. In Jesus' name. Amen. Alright. So. Okay. I want to just take the rest of this evening to just look at the heart behind the prayerless life that we lead. those of you who have prayer under control, that you have no room for improvement, then you may put your head down and go take a nap. But for the rest of you who could use a little help and to improve, for those of you who pray on a regular basis, you do it, and maybe initially you were excited to do it, but after a while, I don't know if it happens with you, but it happens with me, that after a while, you just kind of lose the passion, and you just do it out of obligation and duty, because as a Christian, I'm supposed to pray. But it's not something that I look forward to, and I can't wait to pray, because my Father, God of the universe, wants to connect with me. And so we know all of this in our heads, but sometimes we don't always carry them out. So it is very common that there's struggle and there's discontentment in our prayer life, for the most part. Okay, very few that I know that really have a thriving prayer life, that they actually go into their inner closet and spend hours talking and connecting with the Lord. And ideally, that would be wonderful if we had the time. And those of you who are working, or if you are a mother of young kids, you know how that goes. You know, those few minutes are, to have a few minutes, uninterrupted minutes, sometimes it's hard to come by. And it's a season that we're in as well. And so I was trying to raise 5 kids at homeschool. That was always a struggle for me. I couldn't even shower without being interrupted, let alone pray. And so it's always been a burden of my, you know, in my heart to want to improve, but I felt like I never really had the time to. So it really led me to ponder what is causing this, and not just me, but finding a lot of the women were struggling in prayer, in their prayer life, and I jotted down all the reasons, and I was able to categorize under 4 headings or categories why that we don't pray. And the first is the prideful heart. That prideful heart kind of says, what if he says no to my request? And so because you don't want to get a no answer, you just won't even attempt to pray. Or when God says no, or brings about things in your life that you're not happy with, many would turn on God and hold a grudge or be angry with God for not having, you know, not getting your way. And so a lot of times, prideful heart thinks a little bit too highly of oneself, always thinking you deserve the best and the things that you think you deserve. And so instead of being willing to ask, but the prideful heart never want to ask or even beg, because that's, you're too proud to do that. And so a lot of times, prideful heart does not have that disposition to even want to even ask God for anything. And so they kind of excuse themselves by saying, I'll be okay. I'll be all right. I've lived this far, and prayer hasn't been my strong suit, but I'm okay. So I'm gonna be okay. So I'm gonna, you know, just kind of stay in that. And another heart's attitude is self-sufficiency. The heart that just says, I can do it myself. You know, I don't need to ask God. I never have to ask anyone for help, and let alone, I don't need to go to God and ask, because you know what, if I just put forth enough effort, then I should be able to get it done. I've heard people say, I'm independent. I'm very independent, so therefore. And almost saying that as a virtue. Like, self-sufficient in the virtue is not. We're supposed to be dependent on God, right? And so it's easy, it's not to ask and say, okay, I can do anything that I put my mind to, or if I try hard enough, then I'll be able to accomplish, which is a lie, but nonetheless, a lot of us do believe that. And the third category is the unbelieving heart. And the unbelieving heart says, why should I pray? Whether I pray or I don't pray, there's no difference. So why should I pray? I really don't believe that prayer is going to make a difference. I don't really make time to pray. But I find myself finding time and doing all the things that I do want to do. When it comes to prayer, well, if I have time and if I'm not that tired, then I'll pray a little bit if I go to bed. It's that kind of the heart to attitude. Another thing too is that, well, I'm not sure if I'm going to ask him because he might not say yes. He's never answered my prayer, so therefore, I don't know if I want to do this. I don't know what's so great about praying. I know people talk about it, but in my personal prayer life, I haven't seen much great change. And when I do pray, it seems like always things that I don't want happen seem to happen. And so, because they feel that God is not answering their prayer the way they want, we just don't pray. And then the fourth category is what I call it the lazy heart. And I know a lot of us end up here because, frankly, prayer is hard work. You ever try, okay, to get really serious about prayer, and so you go in the closet and you try to just quiet everything down, close your door, and you try to pray. You close your eyes. The minute you close your eyes, instead of seeing God and connecting with Him, you know what happens? All the things that you know you got to do. Oh, you got to do laundry. Oh, don't forget, you got to make a deposit here. All these things, other things than the things that you know you wanted to pray for, just keep popping up in your head. And if you're not careful, before you know it, you just gotten up from your prayer closet and you're already throwing the laundry in the washer. It's like, whoa, what am I doing? I thought I was supposed to be praying. Here I am. Doing the dishes or doing other things that I'm supposed to do. Because you know what? Prayer is a spiritual warfare. And it is a hard, hard discipline. And it doesn't just happen. It's kind of like trying to lift a 400-pound weight or running a marathon when you've never even trained yourself for it. So it's kind of unrealistic. But somehow we just think, yeah, we're going to just pray. We're going to pray for an hour, you know, this whole hymn, an hour of prayer, right? You know, sweet hour of prayer. And when was the last time you did have a sweet hour of prayer? You know, if you get 10 minutes in, that's good enough. Or maybe your prayer just is at the mealtime. Hey, I pray three times a day at least. If you eat three times, right? And so the prayer life just looks really sad for most of the Christians, and it was for me. It's always been a struggle because it is a hard work. And we quit too easily. When things get a little hard, we just quit and we just move on to the next thing. So we don't stick it out long enough to see God's hand in that. And so, whatever the reason that you give, whatever excuses, it's the fact that we don't pray as we ought. Martin Luther once said, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Now, if you really think prayer is equivalent to breathing. Some of us, or a lot of us, should just be dead right now. Right? But that's how critical and that's how vital our prayer life and should be, because what is prayer? We're talking to God. Here's God that we say we love, that He is our Lord, and that we serve, that we want to serve Him, yet you never communicate with Him. And, you know, I don't know your little one, you know, saying, "I'm in the Lord's army." Yes, sir, you know. And they sing this song, they're in the Lord's army, and okay, so we're in the Lord's army, we're in the spiritual warfare, we are we are fighting, and we are so busy. Busy doing what? Busy taking care of our kids, busy working, busy doing what we want to do, yet we never report to our commanding officer and get what we're supposed to do. We just run around busy, always busy. We're never not busy, right? I mean, our schedule is full all day, every day. We've got plenty to do, but we don't pray. Prayer is just not that important. It's not up there. But I say I'm a Christian, and I'm living for the Lord, and I'm doing His will. Really. You're not praying about it. I'm doing God's will. And so, it's so easy to succumb to that. I'm guilty of it, and I know many of you are as well. And so as you are running around busily doing God's work, you miss God in the midst of it. You're doing what you think He wants you to do, but maybe that's not even what He wants you to do. I do know prayer. That's one thing that God does want to do. I mean, He wants to, He loves you, right? You know that. He loves you enough to send His Son, and He died for you, and He just wants a relationship with you. Yet, you are busy doing other things and saying, you know I love you. Okay, go on. And it is so funny. Not funny, really, but I have two boys that are, you know, they're junior at TMU. So they live close by. We live close by. Whatever. They live on campus, but we're only like 15 minutes away. So you would think he would stop, you know, they would stop by more often to see me, because they're on the way to wherever, you know. But the only time that I see them is when they bring their dirty laundry to do it at home. And it's like, "Oh, hi, Mom." And while the laundry's doing, and that's when we get to visit. But if they didn't have dirty laundry, I don't know how often they'd come by, you know. And so because they don't want to pay on campus and it's free at home, so they'll come. But that's the only time. But recently I was saying, you know, what I really want is just more time, more regular time that you would even schedule that in. But when they're, and you'll know, you never think that your little 5-year-old would ever think that, you know, want to not spend any time with you, because they think you're wonderful right now, right, and perfect and all that. But they too once thought that too about me, but they are so busy with their life. And I see them just going here and there with friends here, trips here, oh, I got to study for finals here, and class here, and work. And yeah, they get busy, but I want that relationship. I want a regular time with you. And as a mother, I understand a little bit what God would want of us. You know, here, we are His children, and He wants that relationship. And one of the ways He gets that is through prayer. When you talk to Him, and you know what to tell, and He will talk to you through the Word. And so if you don't read your Bible, and you don't pray, and you say, "I have a relationship with God," I'm not sure how that really flies. Because let's just go to Facebook. You know, many of you have lots of friends on Facebook. I don't like Facebook. I am on that. My presence is there, but I'm not active on that because I've got that's kind of for the old people now. They moved on to newer and, you know, better things like Instagram and, I don't know, Twitter and, what's that Snapchat. I cannot keep up with them, but it just gives you that feeling like you have lots of friends. You know, and just because you post something, like as if you're like really communicating. That's like, to me, that's just like such an artificial friendship that you have. That's not even real. I mean, okay, you know, I mean, would you really run to all your Facebook friends and say, yeah, this is the trouble I'm having, can somebody help me? Maybe some people do post it, I'm not sure, but I'm not on there enough to know. But that is not, you can't either, like Nicole would say, hey, this is my great, this is my best friend. And if she brings someone to introduce me to her friend, and she said, I never talked to her, I never spent time with her, but she's my best friend. And I'll look at Nicole and say, we need to have a talk. But sometimes we do that. You know what? I said the prayer, I'm a Christian, I go to church, and so therefore, I'm a Christian. I love God, yeah, that's why I'm here at church every Sunday. You know, I try to make it. You may not do anything else, but I come to church. And in church, you hear the word, and you know, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not, whatever. And sometimes my mind is filled with a lot of things. And then when I go to work and other things, my mind is filled with worldly things. I'm not thinking about things of God. I'm not even thinking about God. I'm thinking about making the money, or I'm thinking about, you know, how to do this or that, or I guess go to Pinterest, whatever, everybody go there, right? All of these we do, but it just feels like you miss the person, but you're busy doing the activity. So I want you to, if you can now turn to Matthew 15. Matthew 15. Read with me. Okay, now one of the things, you guys are young, so you don't know this, but once you get older, reading becomes a challenge. You know, like, okay, do I wear glasses or do I wear contacts? Which one can I read better with, you know? So bear with me. I'm going to read from Matthew 15, 22 to 28. And behold, a Canaanite woman from the region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciple came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house, of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed. I want you to look at that passage. As a mother crying out and begging Jesus to help, I mean, it's just, this woman always moves me to tears, but she calls out, and she calls him by the right name, "Lord, Son of David," and she's calling out and crying, and the disciples are bothered by that, kind of irritated with her. But she is so desperate for her daughter that she makes a request for his mercy. So you would think, you know, Jesus that we know, you know, if we cry out, you would think Jesus would kind of meet you halfway and take you in his arms and say, "Okay, what can I do for you?" No. Here he just remains silent. He doesn't even act like he he heard her request. So the disciples come and said, please, send her away. Send her away, so they're bothered by it. So then he answers, then she basically, he answers and says that, hey, I wasn't sent. I was only sent really to the Jews, not to you, because she was not a Jew. So here, he's saying, no, I can't help you because she's of the wrong descent for the nationality or ethnic group. I mean, it would be unheard of today, right? But that's the reason he gives. No, I wasn't sent for you, basically. I was sent for the Jews. So if you had a prideful heart, at that point, you would say, forget it. I tried. And he's not like what people say he is. And puffed up, prideful heart would be offended, and you would just turn around and go away somewhere else, maybe. But no, this mother does not go away. For she had a humble heart. So instead of going away, she comes closer to him and she kneels down now before him and says, Lord, help me. And then you would think at that point, you know, Jesus would say, oh, you know what, she's asking again. Maybe I should hear what she has to say. But no. What he says is, he says, it's not right. It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dog. He didn't say give it to the dog, throw it to the dog, right? So we're like, okay, so did Jesus just call her a dog? Wow, I think he did. And at that point, prideful heart might say, yeah, did you just call me a dog? Do I look like a dog? I'm a woman, right? But instead of having that kind of prideful attitude, she says, yes, Lord. And then you go, what? She just said yes. She said she's agreed with him. Yes, I'm a dog. Yes, Lord. Yet even the dog eats the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Now, I know that's true, because we had a dog. A kid, on purpose, things that they didn't want to eat, but that's kind of... and corrupt it, and she will be happy to eat it all. You know, so I know dogs look forward to all the crumbs that, you know, could maybe fall from the table. Now, I would give it to her because she's a dog. It wasn't meant for her. I made it for my kids. Nice, healthy stuff that they didn't like. So they wanted to, you know, get rid of some of that and give it to Delta. And so, she's saying yes, but I know God eats the crumbs. Now, when she said that, I mean, I just said, wow. Wow. Okay. She had no pride. She was humble. She was willing to go to him repeatedly and even say, yes, I'm a dog. But I can eat the crumbs that I fall from the table. So even Jesus said, wow, okay, he said, oh, woman. Great is your faith. Be it done for you what you desire. All of you mothers out there, or future mothers, this woman had a daughter who was possessed. Daughter who was possessed by demons, so she wanted his help. You have young children that are not saved. There's no guarantee that they're ever going to be saved. How fervently are you even praying for your children, for their faith? Do you ever go and beg and hang on to him until he says yes? Yeah, you do get saved. What about your children? Is it okay? Are you at peace knowing that they might go to hell? And if you are, then I don't think you really understand what hell is and what forever, forever, and ever, and ever mean? That means like for the rest of eternity, they're going to be in pain apart from God. Do you pray for their salvation? But then to be saved and snatched out from the hell fire? Here's a mom here. She wasn't even a Jew. Went to Jesus and begged and begged. Was insulted, but her faith was great. So instead of a prideful heart, then you need to, so we all need to strive to cultivate a humble heart. Second, we talked about the self-sufficient heart. Self-sufficient heart, really, we need to, instead of self-sufficient heart, we need to cultivate a dependent heart. So could we all turn to John 15:4-7? I'm so sorry. What's the end time? I kind of need to at end time so I can pace myself. Can somebody tell me what time you need to wake up? Around 9? Very good. Okay, so John 15:4-7. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Okay. So here's Jesus speaking, and he's using this illustration of the vine and the branches. Now, for the most of us here, our city folks don't know the difference between the vine and the branches and whatever there's on the tree somewhere, right? So let me just give you a little bit of explanation, because I had to look it up myself. You're talking about the grapevine here, and the vine is the stem, the woodsy part, that's kind of the ground that goes into the ground, okay? And the branches, so the vine is pretty strong. So the branches are the ones, the green things that come out of the side of the vine. And it is a grapevine. These are the branches that kind of, I guess, rise up. Whatever did they put on here? The stake or whatever that they put. Anyway, so when the fruits come, they can hang, and it'll be easy to cut off it and gather. And so Jesus is saying, I am the vine. You are the branches. You're going to bear fruit like a cluster of grapes, since this is a grapevine. Then these branches better be connected to the vine. Branch by itself, hanging out in the air, it's not going to do anything. What it's going to do is dry up, and it's just going to later be burned. But if you're going to do anything useful, you have to be attached to the vine. Okay, so I get it. So, 21st century illustration. I hate to admit this, but everybody, go ahead. Start your phone. Let me see your phone. Who does not have one? Who does not have one? I even have one. Everybody has one. This is kind of like the same illustration I'm about to give you. Phone. I hate to say this, but my phone is the first thing I touch and the last thing I touch in the night. Because I set my alarm, right? Touch this, put it down, 4 feet away from me, at least, right? And then go to sleep. Alarm comes, you know, alarm, oh, that's the first thing I touch. And wow, you know these things? You know, you can do a lot of things with it. Now, I didn't like the smartphone, but the only thing I liked on the smartphone was the GPS. Because I am directionally challenged. So, when I, yes, I am directionally challenged. God makes nobody perfect. So. So I am directionally challenged. Not as bad as Michelle, but I am there. But once you get used to this, you know, so now I started getting, you know, text. You got to text when you have college kids, right? That's the only way they're going to talk to you. But they don't call, you know, on the phone anymore. So you text. You learn to text. And you learn to look up stuff because now they're asking questions about things that I don't know. So then I'll have to look it up. And then, oh, yeah, this is the answer. I'm supposed to know everything, right? So, you know, kind of coming in handy here, but people do, I guess, Facebook, oh, the camera's good, right? The camera, you gotta take pictures, make memories, you know, all that stuff. I guess people could watch movies, read books, play games, and pay bills. Not only pay bills, but you could do Venmo. I found out, oh my goodness. Okay, this little thing can do everything, okay? But guess what? You have to charge this every night, don't you? Or maybe during the day, or maybe carry an extra pack of battery like my husband does, you know, different kinds. I'm like, what is that? Oh, some things you just set on, some things, I can't even. Anyway, so you gotta constantly charge this. If you're gonna use it, you have to charge it. Now, I can get away by just charging it at night, because, you know. But when it comes to, I noticed with iPhones, when you get less than 20%, this little red thing, it's red, it's not green anymore, and it says low battery, like connect me, right? Now, when you are out, you don't have any extra anything, then you are going to be very careful how often and how much you use this thing until you get home. Like me, I need it to get home. So, hey, you don't want to operate this thing when it's red. And, you know, it's fancy. You know, oh, 90% is good, you know, like 100%, that's really good. Just the way you charge this thing, just like this phone is useless if it's dead. And there's no battery and there's no charge in it. It could be the latest model, the prettiest color. It is no use to you. So in the same way, he's saying unless you stay connected to me and until I charge you, you're no good. You're no good. Okay, so now I know this is going to stick. I know. Better than the vine and the branches. Every time you touch your phone, I want you to remember, oh, I got to pray. And say a prayer too. Okay? Just that, the thing is, you guys are so diligent with this. I mean, I see my sons, they've got multiple cords and plug things, and once they get home, they take out all my outlets, you know, plugging everything in. So I know we need to pray, kind of like that. We need to stay connected, like the way we want our phones to be charged and connected. Because if it is charged, then we can use them. Just like if we are, when we stay connected to God, God can use us. But if you don't stay connected and your power does not come from Him, He can't use you. Okay? So you're just kind of running around, wasting your time. So, somebody said, prayer, the world's greatest wireless connection. So, that was around long before cell phones came. So, use, you know, make use of that prayer. Number three, instead of an unbelieving heart, you want to cultivate a believing heart. In Hebrews 11:6, it says it is impossible to please God without faith. Okay, so that means you have to have faith. And he also says, faith is not something big. Faith is very, very small. Like a mustard seed. And I know many of you have not seen a mustard seed. But mustard seed is so small. Have you ever seen like a millet? A millet is smaller than a sesame seed. Like a grain of, is it a little bit bigger than a grain of salt maybe? Okay, it's that small. Very little tiny thing, but when those things go in the ground, little tiny thing, and this thing grows into a big mustard. So God is saying, your faith doesn't have to start being a big old eucalyptus tree, big, tall one. All you need is that little bit of faith. Then the work will be done. So when our hearts don't want to believe, or we question, he's not going to let us, or he's going to say no, that's not going to happen, prayer's not going to change anything, and this is when you need to think of just having that little bit of faith. Matthew 8, if you could go to Matthew with me, chapter 8, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. It says, when he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came. Leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now, this will be an example of a leper who had that little faith. Because he said, he's saying, I know you can. I know you can make me clean. But if you are willing, then please make me clean. And this is when Jesus said, yes, I will make you clean. Okay? Now let's move to Mark 9, verses 21. The 24, and I will read. And Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? This is a father who brought to Jesus another young man who was possessed with demons. How long? So he asked, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. Now, here, go back and see the way this father asked Jesus. It's not that, I know you can do it, are you willing to help me? Wasn't that? He said, if you can do anything, have compassion and help us. And Jesus' response is, if I can, of course he can. He can do anything. Nothing is difficult. But he was asking with unbelief. And the father right away said, I believe. And a lot of times, here's this much, maybe, you know, just a little tiny seed, but even within that little seed, we believe this much. And we need even a little more to believe in. We don't fully, 100%, we don't believe in our heart as we ask. We want it. It's a wishful thinking, as we say. And we can say, I wish and I hope. So maybe the Lord will do this. This kind of wording. And you know in your heart, you know you don't really think he's going to really do it. And when he does, then you're all surprised. Like, oh, wow, I didn't expect that. Why didn't you expect that? Didn't you ask? So right away, he said, I believe, help me, help my unbelief. And sometimes, as you grow in your faith, you have to say that. I've done that many times, because I had such small faith. I would pray, and I know in my heart. And then I would, when I catch myself, like, oh, Lord, help my unbelief. I'm going to copy this guy, because God, Jesus responded to him. So until you grow, and he knows, until you get to the place where you can really rest and to be able to ask and be okay, God understands your heart. Okay? So it's okay to say, please help my unbelief, and to acknowledge and to acknowledge that you don't fully believe and help me. Please give me that faith that I need. He will be happy to give that to you. Okay? And so and I know as a Christian, you will never say, I don't believe. I don't believe. I don't think God can do this. You will never say it, but you know your actions show it all the time. Maybe you don't even know you're doing it. And so it shows because of the priority that you set. Because if you really believe prayer is that powerful, then you would be praying every day as if your life depended on it. And the fact that you're not, it shows. I really don't believe prayer has much power or has the ability to do anything. And so by choosing not to do that, it shows a lot of what you really believe in there. And unfortunately, we make time for all the things that we want to do. And I'm guilty. If there's something that I want to do, I will make the time to get it done. The fact that you don't get the prayer in every day or multiple times a day, it shows that you don't really believe. Then prayer is going to make a difference. So knowing that we know, you know in ourselves, that we do, it's kind of like, there's a will, there's a way, you'll find a way. And so it's kind of like that. That you do that. And so if you need to spend time with the Lord to get to know him and to make him your best friend, not your husband, not your best friend, he wants to be your best friend. And he should be your best friend. That means you have to spend time. Just like you spend time with your husband, spend time with your friends. If you don't spend time and communicate, this relationship or this friendship doesn't go anywhere. Just because you say, I'm your friend, that doesn't really make it a friend. I'm talking about like a Facebook, you know. Because, yeah, I'll be your friend. I never see them or talk to them, but I'm your friend on Facebook, right? Nothing bad about it, but if you don't give that up with real friendship, where you really should cultivate that relationship. And so, moving on to number four, we said about lazy heart, to cultivate a diligent heart. Now, this part, there's like no shortcut. There's no shortcut to this. You have to pray. You have to get better at praying by praying. There is no shortcut. So you don't, if you are suffering from the lazy heart syndrome here, then don't wait until you feel like praying. You just need to pray. Okay? It's kind of like exercising. Now, I haven't exercised in a long time, so I started just 7 minutes. Just 7 minutes, my husband. Just 7 minutes. All right, 7 minutes. So I downloaded here. And so you do 7 minutes, thinking 7 minutes, no problem. The first day went just fine. Second day, third day, oh my goodness, I'm sore. I was doing the same thing with 3 days in a row. So I'm feeling it here, feeling it there, going, wow, it hurts. It just feels tight, you know, and I'm not doing anything really rigorous. And so prayer is like that. You can do it one day, okay, 2 days, okay. Maybe you can do it for a week, but can you do it for 30 days? Can you do it for 90 days? And be faithful at it. Not only faithful at it, but enjoy meeting with God and talking to Him, pouring out your heart, and connecting with Him, and staying connected like you would want your phone to be connected. Okay? And so, doing that. So build up, slowly. Maybe you don't want to do an hour, because you haven't been doing any prayer. Maybe if let's just start with 5 minutes. You can do 5 minutes praying for everybody in your family and the people you know. 5 minutes will go like that. Okay? And then we move up to like maybe 10 minutes and 15 minutes and say, well, I don't know. I ran out of stuff to pray after 7 minutes. Now what? Great question. Psalms. I found Psalms to be the best, easiest. To pray back to Him the words that He's given you. So all the things that, you know, Dave had, you know, praised God and lauded Him for, that, give those words right back to God in prayer, praise and in prayer. You've got a lot of chapters to go through. I guarantee you 10, 15 minutes will go like that. But what's going to be really hard is keeping our mind staying focused and stayed on Him and fighting with the element every time you think about other things. So for me, every time, it does not fail. And I close my eyes to pray, all the things that I didn't do just start to pop up. So instead of jumping up and doing them, I just keep, I have a paper. And as I'm praying, oh my goodness, I was the first to call such and such. So instead of calling right then, I would just write down. And you go back to prayer. Oh, laundry. Oh, yeah. I got to go pick up laundry for Charlotte. Okay, write it down. And so many days after praying, I got to have a list of things. I know that's God's will for me to do those things today, that day. So it was like, wow, this is pretty good. You know, and so every time I close my eyes in the morning, you start out, He gives me a to-do list. And so... So instead of being distracted by it, you could use that to your advantage and have a list going. And so you know you're going to get that done. You don't have to jump up and feel like you've got to get done or I'm going to forget. Just write it down. But stay in prayer. Whatever minutes that you decided, keep praying. Stay there. Stay on your knees. Another thing is that I don't know if anyone is like busy. Like I have... the Lord gave me 3 children, all under the ages of 14 and a half months at one point in my life. So that means there are diapers, there are nursing that has to happen, I have to cook and clean and everything else. So those are the times that I really didn't, I don't even, okay, so my daughter was 14 and a half months, my boys, my twin boys were born. So I had 3 of them. That was a crazy time. But times like that, I wish I had a smartphone. Because now there's all these apps that you can even read along or even read to you. So like when I was nursing, I could have really kind of used that. In those days, I didn't have that. So I used to just pray, but use those times, right? but moments like, I mean, and those seasons where I was just going, and when I sat down, I would like fall asleep because physically I was just busy. Everything from, you know, tying the shoelace to the, you know, wiping their face. I mean, it was a lot of physical work because they couldn't do anything. And so, times like that, I had to decide it in my heart. I would catch myself in my thoughts. In my, like a monologue. A lot of the monologue either would be a complaint, like, oh, I'm so tired, they did it again, and they knocked this over again, and, you know, I'm, okay, how do I not sin, you know, all this other stuff is kind of going through. And instead of doing that, I said, you know what, I'm going to bring every thought captive to obedience to Christ. That means I am not going to ever have a monologue in my head. I'm going to dialogue with God. So whether it be a bad thought, complaining thought, whatever came, I would turn that to a prayer and talk to the Lord. Because I know He gave that to me, gave me these kids, and He was going to strengthen me to do them, but I would tell Him, you know, I'm about to lose it right now, so Lord help me. Or, you know, I forgot to do this, didn't I? Now, when could I find the time to do this? I mean, like, I would just talk as if I would talk to a friend. And so, in my mind, I'm constantly talking, but also, not only talking, but I'm aware of His presence. And I am talking through my issue, I need to change my heart, or to pray for somebody, and then you bring somebody to mind, okay, I need to pray for her right now, because I know she's struggling with something. And so, you'll be a constant dialogue in my head. And so by doing that, I learned, wow, it is possible to stay in prayer. Like, you know, with this frame it up, you see, I say, how is that possible? It is possible. But you have to take every thought and turn that into a prayer and talk to Him. It takes discipline at first. But you can get to a place where you are just communing with Him while you're driving, or while you're doing the dishes, and it's one of those really a wonderful time, like the best time for me these days, when I'm just driving and I'm talking to the Lord, and he I mean, it's just hard not to keep my eyes dry, because he reminds me of His faithfulness, and one of the things I try to do is to always thank Him for everything. Because if you are not thankful, I guarantee you have a bad attitude about something. But if you can take anything and find something to thank the Lord about, your attitude will be much better and it will be softer. And so it's just self-training, and only because I didn't have time, I had to learn to do this. And now, after doing it for so many years, this is the best, I guess, the fruit or the time that I have with Him, in just communing with Him in my head while I'm doing other things. And so, continue in that dialogue. And again, I said earlier, and I'm going to repeat, prayer isn't something that you learn to do by attending this kind of session. Reading books on. I know those of you who got those books, those are great, great, great books. Read them. But you're not going to get better just because you read those books. You're only going to get better at them if you're going to take the time to pray. Okay. And you make sure you pray. And we're going to look at, just briefly, the perfect example. And that perfect example is none other than Jesus. Now, what I just did was, instead of going everywhere, I just stayed in Luke, and this was just a couple passages. I mean, the passages that I just kind of jot down. So you can just follow me; you don't have to turn. But just looking at the Gospel of Luke, just listen to the way that Jesus lived before us. Perfect example of prayer. Luke 3:21. After being baptized, he was praying. Luke 5:16. He slipped away to a desolate place and he prayed. Luke 6:12. He went up to the mountains to pray all night. Luke 9:28. He took Peter, James, and John to mountains. 9:29, Luke 9:29, he was praying when the transfiguration occurred. Luke 11:1, Jesus was praying in a certain place. Luke 18:1, and the parable he said to always pray and not to lose heart. And as I was looking at this, what occurred to me was that Jesus, who is a perfect being, he is God himself, right? God incarnate. God took on the flesh and is living on this fallen world. And what did he do? He prayed. He prayed every chance he got. He went away to pray. He went to the mountains to pray. He took some friends to pray, but he went to a desolate place to pray. He was constantly in communion with his Father. He prayed. Now, Jesus, who is God and perfect, needed to pray to stay connected to his Father. How much more do we, as a sinner, need to pray and stay connected to God? So, I was appalled at my own prayer life to see, wow, if Jesus had to pray that way and all the time, I need to make some commitment and start praying like he did. And not to take it for granted, because I say, I know, God, that you are not excused. So, just want to encourage you to emulate his example. And as you cultivate the right heart for prayer, that your love for the Lord will grow as a byproduct of being connected to him. And so as you maturing in prayer really means that you move from a time of prayer to a life of prayer. So to get to a point where I have to pray, do I want to pray, do I need to pray, and that I must pray, because that is the only way you're going to stay sane and to know God's will for your life. So, cultivate a humble heart like that Canaanite woman, a dependent heart, a believing heart, and a diligent heart. And that hopefully that you will know where you need to grow and when you need to improve, whether it be more faith or more being more dependent on the Lord instead of being self-sufficient. Or maybe just be more diligent instead of just being lazy. And so whatever the Lord has shown you, as I pray us out, I want you to take a moment to talk to the Lord and see how he would want you to change this area. Because as we live in this world, you don't know it, but we become very worldly. Sometimes you think that's the right thing to do, and a lot of times, and those things are brought into the church. But really fighting that off, and really keeping Christ as your focus, and fighting off that worldliness, and some of the things that we desire, that we should desire. So let me pray for us.